This is Audible.
The Skull Ruler, Skull Series, Book 3. Written by Penelope Skye. Narrated by Michael Ferraiolo and Natalie Eaton. Chapter 1. Balto. The elevator doors opened and I stepped inside my home with Cassini beside me. I laid my pistol on the entryway table along with the knife I kept in my pocket. My feet slowly carried me into the room, the burden of my decision weighing across my shoulders like a 300-pound bar. My decision would come with consequences. I wasn't afraid of Lucien's wrath because I wasn't afraid of anything. Most men feared death, but they failed to understand it was a gift. When this life became too much, when the pain became too unbearable, there was a way out. It would be painless, quiet, and empty. Watching my enemies die under my boot was violent and cruel, but they were always rewarded at the end, with the sweet relief of death. I sauntered to the floor-to-ceiling window and knew it was only a matter of time before my phone started to ring. I was already late, but Lucien didn't want to cave first and call me. His retaliation wasn't what I feared. What I feared had already come to pass. I'd softened for a woman, made a decision based on emotions rather than logic. I put her life before an item so valuable that the people of the world would kill one another for it. All for a single woman. What did that say about me? Cassini came up behind me. Dear, leave me alone for the night. I stopped in front of the glass and saw my reflection in the window. I still looked like the barbaric ruler who put men to death every single day. To anyone else, I looked the same. But I didn't feel the same. I judged myself for the decision I'd made, but at the same time, I wouldn't have done anything different. Cassini stayed behind me. I didn't ask her again. I just spared her life and sacrificed that diamond for her. I shouldn't have to ask her again. Her footsteps sounded as she headed down the hallway. Judging from the length of her footsteps, she went into her bedroom instead of mine. I kept my eyes glued to the bright city below me. The lights from the cathedral, the brightest because it was the tallest building nearby. The city was quiet tonight, but that peace wouldn't last long. My phone rang. Without looking at the screen, I knew exactly who it was. I answered. Yes?
You're an hour late.
Lucien didn't yell, but his oily tone showed his frustration. He probably had all his men posted at the estate, ready for whatever was about to happen. He probably had anticipated I would cross him, just the way I anticipated he would do the same thing. Maybe I would make the exchange, then shoot Cassini in the back of the head before I drove off. We were two men who innately distrusted each other, but that was his fault. I'm not late, I'm not coming. His silence was filled with anger. I changed my mind.
You choose a woman over one of the most flawless diamonds in the world?
He asked incredulously. Not only was I choosing her over a priceless jewel, but also over the explosives I could use for the Skull Kings. It was possible Lucien and I could have formed an alliance at some point, or, at the very least, a truce. But I was throwing away that possibility, too. She's worth more than all the diamonds in the world, but you already knew that. He turned quiet, letting the tension burn over the line. The only thing we could promise each other at this point was war.
You're making a mistake, Balto.
I'd regretted the decision the instant I made it, but I would have regretted it more if I'd followed through with the plan. I despised myself for letting my feelings get to this level. I lost my self-respect for turning so soft for pussy. The signs had been there all along, especially when I hunted down Evan and gave him a beating that almost killed him. I could argue that I did it for Cassini, but she didn't even know about it. I did it entirely for myself, because I cared about this woman more than I was brave enough to admit. You made a mistake when you crossed me, Lucien. None of this would have happened if you hadn't been such a sleazebag. In this world, earning the respect of your enemies is just as important as earning it from your friends. You've managed to earn it from no one. I slept alone, then woke up early the next morning. I headed to the gym and spotted my brother there. We both liked to get our workout completed first thing in the morning, so we always crossed paths. With my towel hanging over my shoulder, I sat on the bench and rested my arms on my knees. Heath racked his weights, then sat on the bench across from me, his muscles thick and pulsing from the weight he'd just benched. He patted his forehead with his towel, then threw it over his shoulder.
You want to talk about it?
No. He nodded slowly.
You know we're going to talk about it anyway, right?
The question forced a smile across my lips. I assumed. Heath rubbed his hands together, his fingers calloused from gripping the metal bars of the weights.
What changed your mind?
I don't know. He gave me a hard stare. I forced myself to give her back, but I didn't really want to do it. I wanted to prove to myself that nothing had changed, that this woman hadn't softened me. I never wanted to be one of those men who allowed a woman to corrupt them, to change their priorities and affect their decisions, but here I am, changing everything for a single person. I broke eye contact and stared down at my hands, ashamed of who I was. This wasn't the kind of man I wanted to be. This wasn't the kind of ruler I'd worked to become. I wanted to go back to who I was. It was a different woman every night, whether it was a whore or a stranger. All I lived for were money, power, and sex, and now, everything is complicated.
Because you love this woman.
I kept my eyes on the ground, my heart pounding against my chest with more force than it had a second ago. I never said anything about love.
But that's what it is. It was obvious when you went after Evan. Cassini got no pleasure out of that, only you did. That was entirely selfish, because you wanted to punish the man who hurt the woman you love.
I finally lifted my eyes to meet his, my gaze impassive and fearless.
Money used to be the most important thing to you, but now she's more valuable than that diamond. You don't even care about the diamond anymore. It's not worth losing this woman who made you committed the first time you slept with her. She's cast a spell on you, and there's nothing you can do to counteract it.
Don't say this bullshit to Cassini. Don't want her to think it's true.
Balto.
He gave me a pitying look.
She already knows it's true.
I wished I'd been cold enough to give her back. I missed the man I used to be, a man incapable of feeling anything. I threw my own brother in prison for 6 months because that was how heartless I was, but this woman made me feel things.
A man wouldn't have made such a sacrifice for any other reason.
I'd laid my cards on the table, and now she saw my hand.
And what's the big deal if she knows? She must feel the same way. Why else would she wait up for you every night? Why else would she get jealous of other women? Why would she risk her neck by having an affair with you?
It didn't matter how she felt. Our feelings could never be reciprocated to each other. Nothing will ever come of it.
Why not?
Because there's no future for us. Heath raised an eyebrow.
You think you can kill Lucien?
That's not why.
Then what's the problem?
I'm the Skull King, that's the problem. He stared at me blankly. It's a life sentence. It's a responsibility. I will sit on the throne until I'm killed in the line of duty or challenged by combat. It's a life of crime, violence, and unpredictability. Cassini doesn't belong in my world. She wants a husband and a family. I will never be a husband, and I will never father children.
You're thinking too far ahead.
I'm being pragmatic. She's not what I want, and I'm not what she wants.
If that's true, why save her?
I saved her because I cared about her. But I also saved her for another reason entirely. Because she deserves a better life. A life that has nothing to do with Evan, Lucien, or me. She's a bird that's been locked in a cage for too long. And I want to set her free.
Chapter 2. Cassini. Balto was gone when I woke up. I slept alone that night because he asked for space. After he decided to keep me, I thought we would roll around on the sheets and have amazing makeup sex. I thought it would be an act of catharsis, of relief that we finally understood where we stand. But he pushed me away all over again. I knew he spoke to Lucian on the phone, because I had my ear pressed to the bedroom door. She's worth more than all the diamonds in the world, but you already knew that. Balto defended me from Lucian and was willing to fight to keep me. He would kill Lucian and finally exterminate my demons. One day, I would wake up and know that Lucian was no longer breathing. Instead of coming to my bed, he went to his own. And now the silent treatment continued. I sat at the dining table with my bowl of cereal in front of me. I considered calling Case to tell him what happened, but since Balto could walk in the door at any moment, I decided not to. It could wait. Finally, the elevator beeped and the doors opened. Balto stepped inside wearing his gym clothes, but he didn't look sweaty and fatigued. His muscular arms weren't throbbing with the blood that pumped in his veins at a higher rate. He headed for the table, his blue eyes locked onto my face. I stared at my captor and savior and only felt gratitude in my heart. But I also felt a million other emotions. The one I felt the strongest was longing. I missed this man. We'd been distant for the past week, hardly speaking and never touching. Now that he'd made the ultimate sacrifice to keep me, I trusted him deeper than I ever had before. If it weren't for Balto, I would have been Lucian's prisoner until he killed me or I killed myself. He stopped at the chair facing me, his arms resting on the back of it. I stared at him, frozen in place by those blue eyes. They always had an icy appearance, but when I was the recipient of that gaze, I only felt warmth. I stared at this behemoth of a man, paralyzed by his strong presence. He continued to stare, like that was a sufficient replacement for a conversation. I hadn't really had a chance to express my gratitude or ask why he'd changed his mind. The second he made his decision, he pushed me away, like he hated himself for not giving me to Lucian. Instead of spooking him, I decided to talk about something completely unrelated. "How was your workout?" He couldn't stop the surprise from creeping into his gaze.
"A waste of time."
"Just weren't feeling it?"
"Heath and I talked the entire time."
"Oh. There was only one thing they could have talked about." He turned away.
"I'm going to take a shower."
I watched him leave, disappointed by the cold conversation. I'd assumed he would be in a better mood today, but he seemed to be in a worse one. I joined him in the large shower, stepping in behind him and shutting the door behind me. He'd just rinsed his hair of shampoo when he turned to me. His eyes didn't light up with arousal at the sight of me. Instead, he seemed annoyed that his privacy had been breached. The man was exceptionally moody for someone so rugged and cold. "Do you mind if I join you?"
"Does it matter? You've already joined me."
He grabbed the bar of soap and rubbed it across his powerful chest. I moved past him and under the water so my hair could become slick against the back of my neck. The beads of warm water ran down my chest, making my tits firm at the change in temperature. My nipples hardened as goosebumps sprinkled across my body. He rubbed the bar of soap over his left arm as his eyes stared down at my body, because it was impossible for a man like him to resist boobs right in front of his face. He stared at them without shame, then moved the bar of soap to his other arm. "Why are you ignoring me?" I didn't wash my hair, because I'd already showered that morning. My makeup wouldn't survive under the water for long. The humidity would make my waterproof mascara weaken, and soon it would drip down my cheeks.
"I'm not ignoring you. I'm staring at your rack, aren't I?"
He moved the bar of soap down his grooved abs and to his hardening dick between his legs. He rubbed the soap around the area and lifted his cock to rub his balls. "You know what I mean, Balto." He returned the bar of soap to the shelf, his dick hardening further. "This conversation has to happen eventually. You aren't the kind of man to shy away from things."
"But I'm also not a man who enjoys conversation either."
He maneuvered under the water, forcing me out so he could rinse the soap from his body.
If I could live the rest of my life without speaking, I would.
Then you wouldn't be able to tell me how you want to fuck me. His gaze darkened as he looked at me.
I wouldn't have to tell you, I would just do it.
He let the water run over his head and down the back of his neck. His palms moved to his face, and he ran his fingers through his short hair. When he was finished, he stepped out of the water so I could move back in. Since he would deflect me every chance he could, I got to the point. Why did you change your mind? When I moved under the water again, my nipples had the exact same reaction. They stiffened at the comfort of the warm water. His eyes stared into mine, ignoring my breasts.
Because I did.
He turned away and stepped out of the shower, dismissing the conversation once we talked about something real. I lingered under the water for a moment, disappointed that he'd cut himself off from me. I turned off the water, then followed him, wrapping myself in a towel. A towel was around his waist, and beads of water still dropped from his hair, down his neck, and to that rock-hard chest that used to be on top of me every night. He stood at the sink and shaved, getting rid of his deep shadow before it could grow into something serious. I watched him in the mirror as I rubbed the towel over my hair, letting my naked body be visible in the background. Now that the warm water no longer surrounded me, I was cold. My nipples hardened again for the opposite reason. Balto focused on his face, shaving his chin until it was completely smooth once more. My hair was dry enough, so I tossed the towel on the rack. I moved to his backside and pressed a kiss to the center of his shoulder blades. Once he felt my kiss, he stiffened noticeably, letting my lips touch him wherever I wanted. "I'll be waiting for you on the bed whenever you're ready." I grabbed his towel and yanked it off, revealing a fully grown dick that liked my kiss as much as I liked giving it. I walked out and got into his bed, the bed I hadn't slept in for a week. It smelled just like him, felt so comfortable, it was like I'd never left. I got on my hands and knees with my ass to the bathroom door, knowing he would like the sight of my freshly shaved body. His footsteps sounded, then stopped. Without looking at him, I knew he was taking a moment to soak me in. I glanced at him over my shoulder. It's rude to keep a woman waiting. His eyes remained deeply serious, but the corner of his mouth rose slightly. He got on the foot of the bed, then maneuvered up to me, his big dick ready to be reacquainted with its long-lost love. He grabbed my hips and rolled me to my back.
That's better.
You like my tits more than my ass? I opened my legs and bent my knees toward my waist.
No.
His arms locked behind my knees. His heavy body positioned itself on top of mine, making the bed dip in the way it always did. He slowly lowered himself until his long dick pressed right against my clit. I closed my eyes for a brief moment, loving the pressure of that throbbing dick.
"Because I want to kiss my woman and watch her come."
He ground against me slightly, his lips just inches from mine. My plan was to get answers from him and to use sex as an incentive, but now my ambition had decreased substantially. His lips grazed over mine, but he didn't kiss me. Instead, he teased me, tortured me. His lips moved to my neck, and he kissed me hard there, his teeth lightly digging into my flesh from time to time. His warm breath trickled across my skin as he devoured me like an animal. I closed my eyes and tipped my head back, giving him more room. "Balto?" My hands smoothed over his chest, appreciating his muscles and his strong heartbeat. If this man wanted to keep me to himself forever, I was fine with that. There was nowhere else I'd rather be, no other man I'd want between my legs. He moved his lips to the other side of my neck before he migrated to my chin. He pressed light kisses there before he moved to the corner of my mouth. If I didn't get the truth out of him now, I might not get another chance for a long time. "Answer me." I positioned his face above mine so I could look him in the eye, see the beautiful man who looked so dangerous at the same time.
"Why does it matter?"
"It matters to me. Why did you change your mind?" While keeping his eyes glued to mine, he guided his dick to my entrance. His thick crown pushed through my lips with a slight thrust, but the rest of the way was all smooth. He sank deep inside me, taking a deep breath as he felt me. My toes curled so hard, I got a cramp in both feet. He held himself on top of me, buried to the hilt with a dark look in his eyes. He didn't kiss me, but he stared me down like I was his enemy more than his lover.
I turned around because you deserve better. I turned around because I want to fight for you. I turned around because this pussy is mine, and only mine. I turned around because you're my woman, and I'm your man.
Balto? My hand cupped his cheek, and I kissed him, full of his enormous dick. He kissed me the way I liked, slow and full of purposeful embraces. His lips felt mine with passion, moving with mine in an erotic dance that made my toes curl all over again. His strong arms kept me in place as his mouth made love to mine. With some tongue here and a gentle bite there, he kissed me better than anyone else ever had. This was a man's kiss, a real man's kiss. He started to thrust inside me, his enormous length moving all the way in before gliding out. When just his thick crown was inside me, he shoved himself in again, hitting me deep and at the perfect spot. I'd missed this. He moved a little harder without breaking our kiss, his hips thrusting perfectly to hit me where I wanted it most. I was going to come already. My wetness smeared across his length all the way to his base. I felt it drip down my crack and stain the bed. My hands moved to his shoulders, and I dug my nails deep as I came. Buck! Balto! He ended our kiss so he could watch me come around his dick.
Baby, you make me want to come when you look like that.
I moaned in his face, then grabbed his ass with both hands. Give it to me, please! We started to move hard together, fucking each other mindlessly as we both reached ecstasy. He made the sexiest expression when he released, a grunt erupting from deep in his throat. His cock thickened inside me and he shuddered as he finished, exploding inside my pussy.
There you go, baby.
I finished as I felt the warmth inside me, as I felt his dick thicken, then soften once he was done. Yes. He pressed his face into the crook of my neck as he caught his breath, his cock slowly softening inside me. Instead of pulling out and rolling over like usual, he stayed inside me and moved his mouth to my nipples. He sucked each one hard before he kissed the valley between my breasts. In no time, he was hard again.
My woman want more of my cum?
His arms remained planted behind my knees, and he held his lips over mine. Yes. My fingers moved into his short hair, and I cradled him close to me. Please. We spent the entire day in bed, making love and napping in between. When the late evening arrived, we realized neither of us had eaten all day. That wasn't a big deal for me, but for a large man like him, it was a much bigger problem. How about we order a pizza?
You can order a pizza.
He lay on his back with his arm wrapped around me, holding me against his side as my head rested on his shoulder.
I'll make something.
Come on, you can't cheat once in a while?
No.
His fingers played with my hair as he looked at me.
A man like me has to have the discipline of a monk.
Only because you set unrealistic expectations for yourself.
They aren't unrealistic, they're necessary.
I rolled onto my stomach, then held myself up on my elbows. I stared at the man who had taken me so many times that my body couldn't hold his load anymore. Instead of taking me in different positions, he was always on top, his eyes always connected to mine. Like I'd said before, he never fucked me like I was just a whore with tits and an ass. He fucked me like I was a real woman, a person he had a connection with. I knew there was something here. Even if you wouldn't admit it. His gaze stern, he stared at me with his impenetrable gaze. Dying wasn't the only reason I didn't want to go back to Lucian. I didn't want to leave you either. Since that moment we met in the bar, you've given my life new meaning. You've given me things I never thought a man could give to a woman.
Like?
He asked, his voice quiet. Honesty, loyalty, gentleness. They are rare qualities to find in a man.
I don't know about the gentleness part. Well, you were pretty gentle just now. He looked away, as if the accusation offended him.
I don't want to talk about what we are anymore. Let's just be what we are.
It was a weird thing to say, and I didn't even know what he meant. Sorry?
You heard what I said.
He slipped back into his sour mood once more. I watched him closely, seeing the annoyance move back into his gaze. You're an honest man. Why don't you just say exactly what you mean? Because I have no idea why you become so cold every time this conversation is broached. He stared at the ceiling for a moment before his gaze turned back to me.
All right.
He moved his hand under his head, the muscles of his torso tightening at his movements.
I saved you because I couldn't let you be tortured and killed. It would haunt me every single day for the rest of my life. When you told me you'd given up in the car, that there was no point in fighting because there was no situation where you would ever win, I realized you were right. You've never had a chance. You've been betrayed by men your entire adult life. If I didn't save you, no one would. That felt wrong to me, that you were shackled into slavery just because you were loyal. You're a good person, but nothing but terrible things happened to you.
I'd never heard him express such empathy, and those emotions were touching coming from him. Well, I wouldn't say only terrible things have happened to me, because you certainly aren't terrible.
That's debatable.
He looked at the ceiling again.
But I don't want you to think this means anything, that I want something serious. Don't give your heart to me because I'll never give it back. I belong to the Skull Kings, and my future is set in stone. This has an expiration date. I don't know what that date is, but it exists.
His bluntness was off-putting, and I did my best not to be hurt by what he said. Just hours ago, he said I was his woman and he would fight for me. He said he couldn't abandon me to a horrible death. But his feelings were still superficial, not deep and complex like I expected.
I don't say this to be an asshole. I say this so we're on the same page.
I knew he cared about me, but perhaps those feelings couldn't deepen into something more. Then why sacrifice so much for me? What's the point of it all? What do you intend to do with me?
I'll kill Lucian. Then you'll be free. You'll have the life you never got to have.
So, you're saving me? He nodded.
Yes.
And you would do that? I asked in surprise. You get nothing out of it. You lost that diamond so I could walk away? He turned back to me, his gaze still emotionless.
As the Skull King, it's my job to issue justice. I'm not just some criminal mastermind who steals from some people and tortures others. I live by a code of ethics. And sending you back to Lucian wouldn't have been justice. You deserve to be free, and I want to make that happen.
I stared at him, grateful I'd met him in that secluded bar. If it weren't for him, my life never would have changed. He broke my chains and gave me the freedom I never would have reclaimed on my own. A part of me hoped that we would have something more, that this wasn't just a fling. But when I imagined a future with him, the picture was murky. He didn't want to have a family, and he didn't want to leave his throne as the ruler of the Skull Kings. He would always be gone in the evenings, always be mixed up with criminals. He would never really belong to me. I would always be second priority. That was something I couldn't live with. So he ended that possibility before we could even consider it. Balto watched me, his blue eyes studying my expression.
Do you understand me?
There was very limited room for romance with this man. He was an authoritarian most of the time, a man who cared about goals, not emotions. I understand. His hostility dipped slightly. And thank you. For everything. I owed this man my life. I owed this man everything. My heart ached when I accepted the fact that this would end sooner than I wanted, but it was for the best, for both of us. I should be nothing but grateful to this man. Anyone else would have taken the diamond, but he chose me. Evan abandoned me to Lucian after I sacrificed myself, then moved on 3 months later. He was never a man, not like Balto. I don't know if I'll ever be able to compensate you for what you did, but if there's anything I can do for you, I will.
You already have.
His hand moved to my hair and he tucked it behind my shoulder.
You've given yourself to me, and that's all I wanted.
Chapter 3. Cassini. I walked into the dining room and found Balto eating his breakfast at the dining table. Shirtless and dressed in sweatpants, he cut into his salmon and placed it into his mouth. After he swallowed it, he grabbed his coffee and took a drink, his eyes flicking up to look at me. He greeted me in silence, preferring the sound of nothing to conversation. By the time I woke up in the morning, he'd already finished his workout and showered. Sometimes he made me feel lazy because he never faltered in his regimen. It didn't matter how late he was out the night before, he was always up early the next morning. The man didn't even take naps, unless it was in between sex sessions. I just got off the phone with Case. He set down his mug and stared at me, his blue eyes expectant of what I would say next. His elbows rested on the table, and he watched me with a face so beautiful it didn't seem like he could belong to an underground organization like the Skull Kings, let alone sit on the throne. He invited me over for dinner tonight at his place. I couldn't bring myself to ask for permission, because it went against my beliefs. But this man was committed to saving me, so I should abandon my pride. Would that be okay?
If you're asking to go alone, no.
What if you come with me? He leaned back against the chair and sighed.
I have more important things to do than sit in the truck for 2 hours while you spend time with your brother.
Then send your men with me.
I don't trust anyone to protect you besides myself.
All right, then have dinner with us. He gave me a blank look, as if that wasn't appealing at all.
I know you want some alone time with your family. My presence unnerves Case, as it should.
Well, you unnerve everyone. His eyes narrowed. No offense.
None taken.
He drank his coffee again. Then he can come here? He sipped his coffee again as he considered it.
I don't let anyone into the compound besides Heath and my men.
Case isn't your enemy. When I tell him what you did, he'll bend over backward for you.
Even so, I don't trust anyone.
All right, then that leaves one option. His eyes slowly narrowed into a glare.
You want me to sit in the truck for 2 hours?
Please. He shook his head slightly and looked down at his plate.
After everything I'm doing for you, you have the balls to ask me that.
I miss my family. You see your brother every day.
And I wish I didn't.
He rose to his feet and left his dishes on the table. You don't mean that. Having a brother is the greatest gift in the world. When your parents are gone, they're all you have left. He stood on the other side of the table, over 6 feet of pure masculinity. He looked like a warrior without armor, the highest-ranking general in the military. He didn't need clothes to exude the utmost level of confidence. Have dinner with us. My brother is an amazing cook.
You know I don't eat that shit.
Well, live a little, I countered. He'll have scotch, so you can eat that. He grabbed his plates and carried them into the kitchen. I followed behind. Come on, it'll be fun. He set everything in the sink and turned back to me.
A dinner party isn't my idea of fun.
Then what is? His eyes narrowed on my lips, and a small smile spread across his face. I rolled my eyes. You're a pig.
No, I'm just a man. Trust me, we're all the same.
I've never met another man like you, and I mean that as a compliment. He loomed over me with his height, and slowly that teasing smile faded into a straight line. The playfulness in his eyes disappeared, and he stepped closer to me.
I know you do, baby. And I've never met a woman like you.
What kind of woman is that?
The kind that calls me a pig.
His smile returned. I've called you worse things than that.
I know, and I like it every time.
So, will you do this for me? Please? I brought my hands together like I was begging him.
You can see him all you want after I kill Lucian.
But who knows when that will be? That could be weeks or months. Come on, you and my brother are a lot alike. You'd get along well if you gave it a chance.
Maybe that's why we don't like each other. We're too alike.
Please? I moved into his chest and rose onto my tiptoes so our eyes would be closer to level with each other. He sighed quietly.
I'll do this for you if you do something for me.
All right. What do you want? I already knew it had something to do with sex. He either wanted something particularly kinky, or he wanted me to wear a piece of lingerie that barely covered anything. He tilted his head slightly, a knowing look in his eyes.
You can figure it out.
You already have me, so you need to be more specific.
I want you to fuck me in the truck when we're done.
Like, right in front of his house? I asked incredulously.
No, I'll pull over somewhere. The countryside is pretty much dark at nighttime.
It's freezing. He grinned.
I'll keep you warm. Now take it or leave it.
Why don't we just screw when we get home?
Because I don't want to. Do we have an understanding or not?
His fingers moved under my chin and he forced my gaze up to meet his. All right, but I feel like my end of the deal is better than yours.
Because it is.
Balto left the city, then headed into the countryside. My brother lived in our childhood home just a few miles outside of the city. The home was too big for a single person, so sometimes I wondered if he intended to have a family eventually. This is it. I pointed to the driveway. Balto drove up the concrete driveway, through the iron gate, and to the roundabout near the entryway.
He has a nice place.
Well, he is a drug dealer. I rolled my eyes.
He had this place before that.
Whatever. We left the truck, then walked through the front door.
You don't knock?
Balto asked as he followed me inside. No. I called into the house. Case, we're here. I could smell the scent of food, a new culinary masterpiece I would get to enjoy. There was no good cooking that happened at Balto's place, not unless I wanted to eat his boring-ass food. I hung my coat on the rack. Balto didn't have one, since the winter chill didn't bother him.
We?
Case called back. Balto followed me.
You should have told him I was coming.
He'll get over it. I stepped into the kitchen and found him sprinkling parsley on top of the lasagna. Ooh, that looks freaking delicious. Look at all that sauce and cheese. I moved to the counter and stared at the delicacy. You have no idea how happy I am to be here. Case would normally tease me for my enthusiasm, but his eyes were locked on Balto.
You didn't tell me he was going to be here.
Who cares? I asked. The more the merrier.
Not in this case.
He kept looking at Balto while he spoke to me.
He can barge into my office, but not my home. That crosses a line.
Case, drop it, please. I gripped his arm and gave him a gentle squeeze. I want him here.
I don't care what you want, Cassini.
He sliced the lasagna, then scooped out the squares and placed them on the white dishes. Balto approached the counter, not the least bit offended by Case's words.
I'll wait in the truck, but you better give me a bottle of scotch for my trouble.
Case grabbed a bottle and handed it to him.
There. Bye.
Case, I watched Balto turn toward the door. I'll come get you in a few minutes. He held up his bottle in front of me.
I already have dinner. Don't worry about me.
He gave me a quick kiss on the lips before he walked out. Case watched the entire exchange, but didn't say a word until he heard the front door shut.
You like the guy now?
He shook his head, then added the broccoli to the plates.
Stockholm Syndrome.
I crossed my arms over my chest. I do like him. A lot. He rolled his eyes.
That man is evil.
The same could be said about you.
Don't expect me to disagree with that, but I've never kept a woman hostage.
He agreed to give me back to Lucian a few days ago. They made a deal, me for the diamond. Case took off his oven mitts and placed his palms against the counter. His eyes were focused on me as he listened to the story. Balto called off the deal. Lucian said he would torture me, then kill me, so Balto refused to hand me over. Instead, he's going to kill Lucian and let me go. Case stared at me, his gaze hard, but his eyes full of disbelief.
Why? Why would he do that for you?
I shrugged. He's not as bad as people think he is. He has a heart.
under all that muscle and testosterone? And he's just gonna let you go?
I nodded. He said I deserve to be free. He stared at me for another moment before he looked away and sighed.
My limited time with the Skull Kings has shown me how loyal his men are to him. They practically worship the guy. He's earned their respect a million times over. He doesn't control them with fear and terror, not like most crime lords.
Because he's a good man. Maybe he breaks the law and crushes the heads of his enemies, but he's a good man. Lucian's men tried to take me when we were having dinner, and Balto fought off all 17 of them entirely on his own and saved me. I still don't know how he did it. Case shook his head slightly. I like him, and when it's time for me to leave, I'm going to miss him. He turned back to me and studied me for a while.
You have feelings for him?
Of course. The man saved my life and he's gorgeous. I'd be lying if I said I didn't feel anything for him.
I just hope your feelings don't go beyond that. Maybe he is a good guy, but he'll never be good enough for you.
I studied my brother, touched by what he said. He made it clear he doesn't feel that way.
Good.
He opened a drawer and grabbed the silverware.
Set the table. I'll go get him.
I smiled. Thank you.
Chapter 4 Balto. I drank straight out of the bottle as I sat in the truck, unaffected by the freezing temperatures outside the window. The booze was strong enough to keep me warm, so I didn't bother turning on the engine. Case's reaction didn't surprise me. He didn't hate me as much as he did before, but he certainly didn't want me in his home. I wouldn't have wanted him in my home either. He walked outside and approached my passenger window. His knuckles tapped against the side, then he nodded for me to hop out of the truck. I took a long drink of my scotch, then joined him. I suspected Cassini told him what I'd done for her, and that changed his mood. I rounded the truck, then leaned against the side, my hands sliding into my pockets. If you want the scotch back, I'm not giving it to you. He faced me, his arms across his chest. I know better than to take a man's booze away from him. Good. We'll both live to see tomorrow, then. The lights from his property gave us enough illumination for visibility, but everything in the background was black. Estates were spread out away from the city, surrounded by acres of land and vineyards. Case continued to stand there like he didn't know what else to say.
Cassini told me what you did. You're really going to let her go?
I'd let her go now if I could.
And you're just going to let Lucy in a keep of the diamond?
I shrugged. Maybe when I kill him, I'll uncover it somehow. Cassini knows that house pretty well. She may be able to help me. He wouldn't have stowed it inside a bank or something, because I can get to that easily.
That's still a big sacrifice.
He examined my face, trying to read my thoughts. That was impossible. I've got more money than I know what to do with.
But this is personal.
Keeping his wife and killing him is pretty personal, too. Case continued to stare at me with scrutiny.
You didn't tell her about Evan?
I shook my head.
Are you going to?
Not sure yet.
What did you do to him?
Almost killed him. It'll take him a few weeks to recover, but don't worry, he'll walk again. Case didn't react, but his eyes narrowed slightly in meaning.
He deserved it. But I also think Cassini deserves to know.
Not sure about that.
Why not?
Because he told me something. Something I've kept to myself. He stepped closer to me, as if Cassini could somehow overhear us.
What?
I'm not sure you want to know.
I'm her brother. I have to know.
It was a sad story. The second Evan told me, I wanted to kill him. Lucian had been stalking her for a while, spotted her at a restaurant and became infatuated with her. So he paid Evan €100,000 to play a part in his scheme. The whole stunt they pulled was fictitious. It was all just to get Cassini to submit to Lucian. Case wasn't restrictive in his reactions anymore. He stepped back, his nostrils flaring and his arms moving to his sides. He paced back and forth slightly, like he didn't know what to do with this horrifying news.
"Told you."
Case paced for another minute before he came back to me.
"You should have killed him."
"I agree." He shoved his palm into his face and slowly dragged it down, sighing with anguish.
"All of that was a lie. I can't believe it."
"Now you understand why I haven't said anything to Cassini."
"Yes, I do.
And I'm not sure if I should." Case turned quiet. I stared at him and waited for his opinion.
"I don't know if you should either,"
he whispered.
"It'll just hurt her. But at the same time, she has the right to know the truth. Maybe when the dust is settled and she has her life back, but right now, it might be too raw for her."
I nodded.
"And I think you should be the one to tell her."
I smiled. "Make me the bad guy, huh?"
"No, because then you can tell her that you nearly killed him afterward."
"I don't think she's going to care about that once she knows the truth. She thinks she loved this guy. She already thinks she's stupid for sacrificing herself for him. Imagine how she will feel when she realizes it was all staged." I crossed my arms over my chest. Knowing I hurt him badly is going to be the last thing on her mind, honestly.
"Maybe. But when she calms down, she'll be able to take it in."
He came to my side and leaned against the truck beside me.
"You know what I think?"
I don't usually care about the opinions of other men. I only cared about my opinion, because it was always right.
"You're going to listen to it anyway. I think you aren't helping Cassini because it's the right thing to do. I think you're bending over backward for my sister because she means something to you."
He turned his gaze and stared at my side profile.
"She told me you want to go your separate ways when this is over. I just want to make sure that's the case. I appreciate what you're doing for her, and I actually respect you. But there's no way in hell I want you to be with her. She deserves a nice guy. A nice house and a nice life. She deserves something better than a man like us. Do we understand each other?"
I turned to him, my face hard in a scowl. Cassini and I had no future, and I'd made that clear to her days ago. I never lied, so she believed every word I said.
"I don't care if you're in love with her. I don't care if you were to die for her. Evan is out of the picture. Luciana will be gone soon. And you can't take their place. She needs to start over. To find a man who's actually good for her. A Skull King will never be good for her."
"The Skull King is the most powerful man in this country. It's because of me that she'll be free. It's because of me that she got her revenge against Evan. If she were my woman, she would only know power and luxury. Before you shut me down, remember exactly who you are talking to. Remember that the only reason her freedom is possible is because of me." Case held my gaze, unblinking, just the way I was. "But no, I won't keep her. She and I want different things in life, and there's no compromise. I can't afford her as a distraction because I'm devoted to my cause. I have many more important things to worry about, and she wants a life I have no interest in. One of peace in the middle of nowhere. Marriage and fatherhood put me to sleep just thinking about them. We have this time together, but when it's over, it's over." Case finally looked away when he heard the answer he'd been hoping for.
"Good. I hated when you first met, but you know what? I think I might actually like you."
He glanced back at me.
but don't let it go to your head.
I won't. When you're liked, it usually means you're doing something wrong, and every decision I've made for Cassini has been wrong. The three of us sat at the dining table with our plates empty of food. Cassini and Case scarfed everything down like true Italians, wiping the remaining sauce with pieces of bread. They shared a bottle of wine and went through the entire contents. I ate everything because a single bite wasn't enough. Pasta was a rare meal for me, so rare I couldn't remember the last time I'd had it when Case didn't prepare it. Even if I went to an Italian restaurant, I managed to find something carb-free. But the lasagna was delicious, so I ate every single bite. Cassini glanced at my plate.
Balto never eats like this, so that's a big compliment.
Case shrugged.
What can I say? I know my way around the kitchen.
What's Dirk doing tonight?
Cassini asked.
He went to the bars with the guys, catching a tail probably.
Now that Case didn't hate me anymore, he relaxed in his chair and treated me like a welcome member of the conversation. There were no silent looks of threat across the table, no bouts of tension that hinted of impending war. I drank my scotch because I didn't drink wine. Even the dry stuff was too sweet for me. I'd been drinking liquor for the last decade, and anything less potent than that felt watered down.
So, are you going to help me with the dishes? Case asked his sister.
She laughed before she sipped her wine.
Do I ever?
No, he countered. But maybe you should offer, since I always cook for you.
I'm your guest, she said. It would be rude for you to allow me to do that.
And we both know I'm rude.
Case grabbed his glass. I noticed Case and Cassini bickered when they were in the same room together, but there was also a potent undertone of love. Case loved his sister fiercely and wasn't afraid to go head to head with me when it came to her. He'd folded when I demanded a percentage of his business, but he never folded when it came to her. Their love ran deep, underneath the taunts and lame insults. My brother and I had a much different relationship. When he left prison, it was rocky, but living in the same building united us in many ways. Being part of the Skull Kings entertained him, so he stayed out of trouble. He must have realized I was right for locking him away, because he warmed up to me noticeably over the last few months, but we didn't have the depth that these two had.
Well, it's getting late, Cassini said. We should go home.
I felt a slight thrill when she referred to the compound that way, like we were a couple that lived together. She considered my fortress a home, a place where she could sleep soundly at night because she felt safe. Case walked us to the door.
Balto, when are you going to take out Lucien?
I shrugged. When the time is right.
You don't carefully plan things?
Case asked as he opened the front door.
You just do it on the fly?
No, I turned to him. I do things when they feel right. Rushing into something usually gets you killed. Taking too long usually gets you killed, so finding the right time is crucial. That moment is difficult to describe, but when it has arrived, I know it. I raised my hand to shake his. Thank you for dinner. And the scotch. He eyed my hand for an instant like he might not take it, but then he placed his palm in mine.
Thank you for freeing my sister.
I nodded, then stepped over the threshold. Cassini hugged her brother for a long time on the doorstep.
Thanks for dinner. Balto only has garbage at his place, so it was a nice change.
Garbage? He asked in surprise. I rolled my eyes. I have a strict diet and she doesn't like it.
Oh, I gotcha.
Case pulled away.
Well, pretty soon you'll be able to cook whatever you want, when you want.
Yeah.
She smiled at him, then kissed him on the cheek.
I'll see you later. Love you.
Love you too.
She stepped through the doorway and came to my side, the cold air immediately piercing through her jacket. I walked her to the car and got the passenger door open for her.
I didn't know you were capable of being a gentleman.
She got into the seat. I stared at her with my hand resting on the open door. You'll forget that I was ever a gentleman in 5 minutes. I shut the door, then got into the truck. I turned on the engine and cranked the heat because she was cold. Then I drove onto the road and headed in the opposite direction of the city.
It's so cold. Can we just go home?
I drove a short distance down the road and pulled over into the grass. She looked over her shoulder out the back window.
My brother's house is right there.
So? I killed the engine and we were left with silence. I unbuttoned my jeans and pushed them down so my cock could come free. We had a deal, so get over here.
It's freezing.
I'll warm you up. Take off your clothes. She kept looking at me like I was crazy. I'm a man of my word. Are you not a woman of yours? She kept her jacket on because she was still cold. But once I made my point, she finally stripped it off. She pulled off her top and bra, bumps visible up and down her arms. Every piece came loose until she was naked in the seat beside me.
What if a cop comes by?
Trust me, he'll keep driving. She moved to my seat and straddled my hips, her body cold to the touch. She grabbed my shirt and pulled it over my head so she could press her naked body against mine and she could suck all the warmth out of me. My arms circled her waist, and I held her tight against me, my lips close to hers. Her green eyes were beautiful, even in the dark. Her full lips were kissable, and her hard nipples dragged against my skin every time she moved. My hand glided up her back, between her shoulder blades, and to the back of her hair where I fisted it. Fuck me, baby. She had to rise high on her knees so she could point my length at her entrance. Then she slowly slid down, taking in inch by inch until she sat right on my balls. Once she felt me inside her, she didn't seem to care about the cold. The windows were already fogging from the heat of our increased breaths. Her hands gripped my shoulders, and she leaned in to kiss me. I kept my lips away. No kissing, just fucking. My arms hooked under her thighs, and I lifted her up and down, telling her exactly how I wanted it. This was just sex, just a quick screw in the truck like she meant nothing. In bed, I was usually on top with my tongue in her mouth, but now I wanted her like I'd paid for her. Her nails clawed into my shoulders,